3:16 and verse number 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." This morning from that text, we want to talk about the power of God's love. All Bible students are familiar with today's text. For most of us have read it, most of us know it by heart, and I know of no preacher who has not ever used these scriptures in their teaching. Many have used it over and over again, such as myself. It presents to us the centerpiece of God's love and grace toward us. Before we can comprehend the Bible, especially the New Testament, we must allow this text to be firmly planted in our thoughts. John 3:16 tells us a lot about the God we must and need to come to know. It presents the essence of the love of our God to all mankind. Some have even called this text a Bible within a Bible, within the Bible. It shows how far man had fallen and how strong God's love is and was for us. So this morning, if you look at the text once again in John 3:16, You must learn to accept that particular text in order that you may hopefully get to heaven. Until mankind accepts and believes this, he will not be saved. What a powerful verse that text presents to all of us. Let us read it again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So I want us to look this morning. I want us first of all to see the loving Father. I want us to notice how much love God had for us. Most fathers would not deny their love for their son, especially their firstborn son. But you might call it, if you will, a man thing, some might say. But it is even more special when it is an only son. That bond of love became magnified when God said, "I love you, son." But he also said, "I love the world." He loved his only begotten son, but he loved the world as well. Jesus Christ was presented or given to the world because of love. Because when you look at that text, watch what the text says again. "For God so loved the world." He loved us, church, this world. He loved this world. But what better way for God to show His love to the world than to show mankind of His willingness to forge a bond between heaven and mankind? When you go over to the book of Romans chapter 5, around verse number 8, the Bible says, "God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were fallen people, but the love of God demonstrated to us that His love was more than benevolence. It is the kind of love that so many are even incapable of understanding. But God showed it anyhow. The recipients of God's love is the whole world. And I know what we like to say as Christians, we think God only loves us. But God loves all of His children. But some of us, sometimes we think that God is not right with us. Well, more than that, it's we are not right with God. God is right with us, but we are not right with Him. Well, preacher, can you elaborate and tell me what you're talking about? Very simply. Very simply. If you go back to verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," there it is right there. You've got to believe in Him. You've got to believe in God, and I'm just so thankful this morning that God loved us even when we didn't love Him. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I'm glad this morning that God chose to send His Son to demonstrate how much He truly cared for us. Unlike men who talk a good game and talk a good plan, but when it comes to demonstrating their love, men usually fall short when it comes to carrying out their plans. According to the Word of God in 1 John, and in the book of 1 John, God is love. Now, when you think about that, church, God is love. God is love even when we're not. God loved us. Look at the text again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think if you were drawing, if you were an artist and you were painting a picture, you would paint love in the picture because God loved us. God saw fit to present to us the greatest gift of love ever given, His only begotten Son. He didn't send someone else's Son. Nor did He create a son to send. He sent not the angels, nor did He send a worldly sacrifice. Instead, He sent His very own. In other words, when only the best would do, God sent the greatest of all. His Son, Jesus. Because God loved us. What a better picture can an artist paint than a picture of love of God standing there looking down and no doubt. When God looked down and saw the shape that the world was in, when He looked down and see the shape that the world is in today, no doubt, God is troubled. Because we have become awful people. And I'm not talking about anyone here. We have become the kind of people that don't seem to care about one another. We have become the kind of people that nobody matters but me. And I say this to you quite frequently. The world is a selfish place. Whether you're out walking, whether you're out driving, or whether you're out shopping, the world has become a selfish place. And if you're a little bit older, you'll know even more what I'm talking about, because the world has been a different place for the last 10 or 20 years. So when God didn't send someone else's Son, He sent His own Son. That tells me a lot about that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So the picture is painted of God being the loving Savior or the loving Father that He is. And I want you to see also that the power of God's love gave us the lifted Son. Oh, the lifted Son. In order for God to give the greatest gift, He had to send the greatest person. The only one able was and is still Jesus. He came into this world as a sacrifice. Look at verse number 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He sent His Son as a sacrifice for all that was wrong in the world. Without this gift, we all would be lost. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32, we are shown this Jesus' sacrificial duties. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how that He not with Him also freely gave us all things. The greatest person of Jesus came here for the greatest purpose, not to live the good life. And He could have lived the good life. He could have enjoyed life. He could have came here, but He didn't come here to be to enjoy life. He came here to suffer and die that He might present to us everlasting life. Jesus could have come here, put up His feet like some of us do, relaxed and had the world at His fingertips. You know how some of us do when we get home? We don't want to be bothered from nothing when we get home and get off work. We want to put our feet up. And sadly to say, some of us want to have our beer while we put our feet up. But Jesus didn't do that. He could have relaxed and had the world at His fingertips, but chose not to live as king, but chose to die as a sacrifice. For He said in Matthew 26 and verse number 53, My Father could send me more than 12 legions of angels. That's 50 or 60,000 angels, church. But He didn't. He accepted His fate to die on yonder's cross. In verse number 54 of Matthew 26, all of this Jesus was speaking of the sacrifice. All this must be done that the Scriptures must be fulfilled. He came not to be treated as a king, but to meet the cross in His death. We can but be reminded of what agony feels like in John chapter 12 and verse number 27, where Jesus said, Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this. save me from this hour, if you will, Father. But for this cause I came to this hour, unto this hour. See, he came to die on yonder's cross. And many of us will say from time to time, we would say that Jesus didn't, there are those who would say that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. There are those who say that they faked his death. But you know something, church? When you go to God's Word, if you're going to believe a part of it, you must believe all of it. If God did not tell us the truth in His Word, then God is a liar. And I think I just told you the last time I stood before you, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. His death was cruel, but it was necessary if we were to be saved from our own selves. His dying on yonder's cross was substitutionary. In Titus 2 and verse number 14, speaking of Jesus, the Bible tells us who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. All of our sins, all of the things that we had done. Jesus came to save us, not to save himself, because he didn't need saving. He didn't need saving because he had done nothing wrong. But look what the Bible says in verse number 17 of the text. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's love has much power, church. God's love has the power to get us from earth to glory. And many of us still are not ready to accept God's Word. There are those who would say, well, I just can't see, I just can't understand, and I just can't comprehend what God's Word is all about because I just can't believe it. You don't have to believe it. You must accept it, and you must believe it first, but then you must learn to accept that it is truth. So when we see Jesus as the Savior, then we'll understand better. Then we also must see Jesus as bringing us the everlasting salvation. When we go back to the text again, we find several words in the text in verse number 16. We find these words. Should not perish. Should not perish. Then it goes on to say, have everlasting life. That means we become one with Christ forever. We become a recipient of His everlasting salvation. In John chapter 10, starting around verse number 28, Jesus Himself spoke these words. He said, I give unto them. Who is to them? His sheep. And who are the sheep? We are His sheep. Referred to in verse number 27 of John chapter 10. That's us, church. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither can any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a promise from Jesus, church. That's a promise. Everlasting salvation means nothing. Nothing at all can separate us from the love of God, of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, and go over to Romans chapter 8 with me if you will. In Romans chapter 8, starting around about verse number 35, I want you to notice the text. Starting in verse number 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a question, church. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But then look at verse 37 and 38. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How, church? Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. And then moving into verse number 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The power of God's love. Isn't it wonderful, church? Isn't it wonderful when you see the power of God's love? All you have to do is remember, church, remember the cross. Remember the cross. And if you can see the cross, you can see the agony and the suffering that Jesus died for us on. He died on yonder's cross. And then There are some who say, well, preacher, church is all right as long as I don't have to be there before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If I can get to church at 2 in the afternoon, have the preacher say about 15 minutes worth of sermon, don't have to sit through the singing, and then be able to rush out the door so I don't have to talk to anybody, I'll come more often. Doesn't work like that. If you love the Lord, you ought to also love me, because I am your brother and you are my sister, or you are my brother, and together we are Christ, we are the sons of God. And we need to understand that being a Christian means that we must love God because He first loved us. So according to this text, nothing can separate us, church. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Oh, there are those who would say, well, I know I love the Lord, but I just don't like Him. Well, if you love the Lord and you've never seen Him and you see me every day, what about that, church? So God's love is so powerful that it sent His only begotten Son to yonder's cross from the Word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of God? The same love that caused Christ to stretch His arms out and die for us. That same love that sent Christ to us. That same love that caused Christ to die for us. The same love that caused Christ to live again. The same love that allows us to share and never die spiritually. Yes, we will all die a physical death, but we don't have to die spiritually. Or one day we're going to have to face a judgment. One day we're going to have to stand before a righteous God, and whether you believe in Him now, you shall know its truth when you stand before Him. Yes, when we all die, and we like to sing the song all the time, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, I got some news. I got a tweet for you this morning. Some of us, maybe even the preacher, I'm not leaving me out, but some of us may not get there to stand around with one another. So we got to change our ways, church. You know, we are a society who likes changes. But many of us won't change for the right reasons. Many of us have changed where we don't have to go to work anymore. We work from home. Many of us have changed where we don't have to even get on the phone anymore. We send emails and text messages to one another. Many of us have changed that we don't like to come out when the sun is high in the noonday sky because it's too hot outside. We've gotten too used to things like air conditioning. And I remember my grandparents, when I was a small boy, they didn't have air conditioning. They had a fan where they sit there and they just fanned themselves. They didn't even have electric fans back, and some of them didn't. But we have gotten so spoiled. We have changed so much. And I thank God for this cool summer that we're having. You may be missing the 90 degree weather, but thank God that we are here to see what He has sent us. The power of God's love, church, is something awesome. This love is a never ending kind of love because He loves us even when we don't love Him. And we know what it's like for someone not to love us. Many of us have spouses or better halves or whatever you want to call them that don't love us and we don't understand. But God is not questioning you. He's just simply telling you, you ought to love me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Isn't that what the Bible says? God's love is universal. He loves all of us. And somebody may question, well, how do I know, preacher, that God loves all of us? Well, just listen to His word in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. Speaking of our Savior, the book says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So He must love us. If He didn't love us, why would He care enough to want all men to be saved? And I'll be honest with you, church, from the preacher's standpoint, there are some men, I guess I might just say, I hope they're not saved. That's just a human side of me. Because they're not right. They don't do things right. And they're the kind of people that you don't like. And I know I better draw this to a close now. I wish the Word of God would touch the hearts of all men. Then maybe we would all get along just a little better. We all need to get along better. If we could just reach out and touch one another. But this is where preachers come in. This is where teachers come in. This is where the church come in. According to the Word of God, we must continue to preach the gospel, doing the work of evangelists, making full proof of that ministry, according to 2 Timothy 4. And then we must preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, but exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. In other words, we've got to keep on teaching God's Word, no matter what the consensus of society is. When the world has found another God, we must preach the one God. When the world has found another gospel, we must preach the one gospel. When the one death is being objected to, in the one burial, in the one resurrection. But most of all, church, we must preach about the one cross. The one cross is all that can save us. According to the Bible, there is no other gospel than that which is spoken of in God's Word. And there is nothing else for us to talk about, church. There is no other love that could have saved us other than the love of Jesus Christ and the love of His Father, God the Father. I thank God that there is power in God's love. For that is the only way we're ever going to get to heaven. And the only way we're ever going to get to heaven is we must first recognize His cross. We must first recognize His cross. Because the cross is where He loved us enough to hang on. God's love is the only power that could, can, and will save us if we allow it to. And I know, church, that sometimes it's hard to love some folk. It's hard to love some folk. You know what I'm talking about. You don't like them because they don't dress right. You don't like them because they're always begging. You don't like them because they don't have any money and you do. Well, a lot of us fall into that category of not having money. But the good thing that I like about it is that God still loves us, whether we be rich or whether we be poor, God still loves us. And I thank God that He sent His only begotten Son to hang on the cross for us. Because if He had not hung on the cross for us, the question becomes that I always ask you, where would we be, church? We would be nowhere. Because there's not another who could have done what Jesus Christ did for us. There's not another who could have bared the cross. But He stood up to the cross all by Himself. Because you remember in the text, of the Bible where when they came to get Jesus, all of His disciples did what? They started to run away, didn't they, church? Oh, it's good to be with friends, but when you get in trouble, friends usually leave you. But the love of God didn't allow Jesus to run. He didn't allow Him to run. He stayed right there. And they took Him into this old mock courtroom and had this mock trial where they said He's guilty. And as I always tell you, they didn't even give Him a lawyer to defend Him with. But I like Pilate. I should say I like Pilate's wife. I like Pilate's wife because she said, "Wash your hands of this matter. This man is innocent blood of this man's." She said, "What has this man done?" And Pilate went back to him and said, "I wash my hands of this matter. This man's blood is innocent and I don't want it on my hand." But sometimes in the matters of religion, sometimes in the matters of religion, we kind of go the opposite direction. We think that we know better than God. How many of us know better than God? If you know better than God, raise your hand. I didn't think I'd see a hand. If I had seen a hand, I would have a long discussion with somebody. Because none of us are better than God. Because the Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no perfect man in their church. Not at all. Except one. And He already went to the cross. God sent His only begotten Son because He loved us. That's the power of love to give us everlasting salvation, everlasting life. And I don't know how I can put that. I'm going to have to ask one of the scholars, Brother Burnside, when he stands up, maybe I'll ask him to explain it. But I don't know how I can tell you what everlasting means. Everlasting means no more. No more of anything except just living on. Everlasting means that I don't have to deal with the trials, the tribulations, and the troubles down here. Oh, and I know what some of us have. We have so much trouble, we could bag our troubles up and still have plenty left to go around. Isn't that right, church? Troubles are on every hand. Troubles are everywhere. Troubles are here. Troubles are there. And trouble surrounds us sometimes. If it ain't trouble in my home, it's trouble on the job. If it ain't on the job, it's out in the street. And when I go shopping, sometimes I have trouble. But I tell you something, church. God so loved us that we don't have to deal with that one day. And I thank God for the power of His love. And you can be a part of the power of God's love. How do I get there, preacher? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. You're coming to Christ. And then what about us, preacher, who did this so long ago, but we stepped outside of the running track? What do we do? Well, you ask God to forgive you. Come down front here and ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. And gathering strength doesn't mean that you're not going to have any more problems, but it means you take care of the problem that you got right now. And don't expect that trouble won't ever come your way again, because trouble shall come our way. I don't know of any Christians that has not experienced trouble. They may not have troubles right now, but I tell you what, they've had some before or they're going to have some tomorrow. Because troubles just act like that. And you know, like I always like to tell you, troubles don't notify you that they're coming. They just come. They sneak up on you. When you least expect it, when you wake up early one morning and you get up and you walk through your house and you find that something is wrong, that's trouble, church. But God loved us, and God presented a love. He's a loving Father, and He presented a lifted Son, and He presented an everlasting salvation to Him. Isn't it wonderful to know God, church? And as we together stand and sing, you can come to Him if you like, right now.